Paul Manafort was sentenced today in a Washington federal courtroom. It was the second time in less than a week that President Trump's former campaign chairman was sentenced for a range of crimes connected with his political work in Ukraine and real estate purchases here in the United States. All told, Manafort could serve over 7 years in prison. Almost immediately after Manafort was sentenced, Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance announced a new indictment charging Manafort with residential mortgage fraud, falsifying business records, and conspiracy connected with the Soho apartment he owned. 2 years ago, WNYC's Ilya Marritz and Andrea Bernstein were among the first journalists to report about this apartment and more for their story, Paul Manafort's Puzzling Real Estate Purchases. They join us now. Hey, to both of you.
Hey.
So, Andrea, let's start with you. Tell us about what those purchases were and what they had to do with today's sentencing.
So it's hard to think back to this time, but 2017, right after Trump becomes president, so before Bob Mueller has indicted and convicted dozens of people, and before he was even appointed, Ilya and I were digging around in New York land records, and we found this strange pattern where we kept noticing that Manafort would buy these homes through shell companies, and then after that, take out loans against them. And we talked to a bunch of experts and we said, what could this pattern mean? And they said this pattern could mean money laundering. Well, we know, yes, now it was money laundering. We didn't know the money was coming from a Ukrainian strongman. We know that now. We also didn't know that Paul Manafort was hiding it from the IRS by running it through these homes in Soho and Brooklyn, which he did, by the way, right before he went to work for Trump. So ultimately, he's convicted of money laundering and bank fraud, tax fraud, conspiracy against the United States, and witness tampering. And we learned he was dealing with a guy that Bob Mueller believes is a Russian spy. By the way, when we were first digging around in this area back in 2017, this is what Manafort's spokesman said about these real estate transactions. There is nothing out of the ordinary about them, and I am confident anyone who isn't afflicted with scandal fever will come to the same conclusion. So today, obviously a very different conclusion, Paul Manafort is guilty and he's going to prison for 7.5 years.
So Ilya, like we said, Paul Manafort, he barely leaves the courtroom in Washington, D.C., where he got years more jail time today when he's indicted again by Cy Vance for mortgage fraud, other charges related to one of those same transactions. So what does that mean that Vance is bringing these charges today?
It tells us he is probably concerned about the possibility that President Trump could pardon his former campaign manager. There's been speculation about a pardon practically from the moment that Manafort was indicted all the way back in October 2017. And indeed, the special counsel's office in a court hearing did express that concern. President Trump has not really wavered in his support for Paul Manafort. Now, the top prosecutor on the island of Manhattan, Cy Vance, he has the power to bring charges here under state law, totally separate from what federal prosecutors have been up to. And that is something that the president cannot pardon Paul Manafort for. To be clear, Cy Vance is a Democrat. He has spoken out against some of Trump's policies. But I spoke this afternoon to a former assistant district attorney in Manhattan who said this possibility of a pardon is a completely legit reason to bring a case. As long as politics isn't also a reason, Vance has a responsibility to make sure that justice is done.
So, of course, now we're talking about violations of state law, but some of these facts were already the basis of those charges in his federal trial, right? I feel like this is a very cinematic expression, but isn't that double jeopardy?
So double jeopardy generally only applies to one sovereign, meaning the state and federal justice systems are separate. However, a problem that Cy Vance may have is here in New York, there is a state law called Procedural Law 4020, which does bar a state trial built around facts that have already been decided in a federal trial.
Okay.
So Manafort's lawyers could make a motion to dismiss on that basis.
Okay, so Andrea, what is Manafort's legal team saying about what's coming next?
So it's not exactly clear how they're going to respond to the indictment here in Manhattan. But we got a hint about their overall legal strategy today. So what happens in the courtroom is the federal judge, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, really raps Manafort's legal team for talking about no collusion, which they did in their legal briefs and their sentencing arguments. She said it was, quote, unrelated to matters at hand, and said what she called the no collusion mantra is simply a non sequitur. She also said it's not accurate because the investigation is still ongoing. So right after she says this, Paul Manafort's lawyers go out into the street and they claim falsely. Judge Jackson conceded there was absolutely no evidence of any Russian collusion in this case. Well, she didn't do that. And in fact, some onlookers yelled, liar, liar.
Wow.
Why would they do that? Who cares about that mantra? President Trump. Obviously, he's the one who can keep Paul Manafort from being locked up into prison until he's a very old man. And that may be the sum total of their legal strategy now, because they can't appeal because of the guilty plea.
WNYC's Andrea Bernstein and Ilya Marez, they're also co-hosts of the Trump Inc. podcast, produced in partnership with ProPublica. Thanks very much to both of you.
Thanks,
John.